Well, this morning we are going to complete the sermon series entitled Faith Foundations, in which we've been focusing on the essentials of the Christian faith. What builds our faith foundation? And so this morning I'm reading from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11, verse 23, and these are Jesus' words. Truly I tell you, if you say to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and if you do not doubt in your heart, but believe that what you say will come to pass, it will be done for you. Rick Lemberg, who was pastor of the First Presbyterian Church in Casa Grande, describes himself as a Presbyterian by earthquake. He explains that his grandmother, a Baptist, was moved the family from Iowa to California many years ago, and a Presbyterian pastor visited her and invited her to come to his Presbyterian church. And she said, I'm a Baptist. It would take an act of God for me to join a Presbyterian church. Well, as they were talking, there was an earthquake. And when the earthquake was over, she said, okay, I'll join. So an earthquake brought a Baptist grandmother to have faith and join a Presbyterian church. Jesus said that faith can move mountains. And it is true. Faith or belief is the most powerful force at humankind's disposal. I mean, if you think about it, everything in human history was accomplished simply because somebody believed. They believed it could be done. Diseases have been cured because somebody believed that a cure could be found. Polio was cured because someone believed a vaccine could be created. Illiteracy has been lowered because somebody believed there was a better way to teach adults and children how to read and a better way to encourage people to volunteer to teach. Some believed that slavery could be eradicated. There were those who were active in the civil rights movement, and they believed that we could live together in equality. They had faith that our country could change its ways. Somebody believed, and the mountain was moved. Movements are created, and things change because a group of people believe. We've seen that happen here at this church. At our church, we've done many things because we believe. I mean, 15 years ago, we used to cram 450 people into the 9:30 service in the Koinonia room in the room in the building next door. I mean, we had Southwest Airlines seating. 14 inches of leg space. I mean, we measured. We had faith to move ahead. We built this sanctuary building because enough people believed we could do it. We even believed that we could build a 1,200-seat sanctuary building and that we could fill it. I want you to know there were skeptics. I've been here 21 years, so I remember all that we went through to build this building. And there were skeptics. Even our district superintendent at the time said to one of our church leaders, couldn't you get along with a 750-seat sanctuary? Aren't you glad they said no? No, we could get along with that size sanctuary in the summer, but not in the winter. Because when our friends come back with us, we need to have space. And we were right. We had faith. And by faith, the sanctuary building was built. An act of faith can even give life. Have you seen the movie Apollo 13? If you haven't, you need to go rent the movie or go on Netflix and watch it. It's a powerful movie of grit, genius, and belief. It is the true story of the flight of Apollo 13. An explosion strands the astronauts in a crippled spacecraft. And in order to preserve their oxygen, the astronauts must leave the main capsule and get into the landing module. And while they're in the landing module, the air filter gives out. Suddenly now they only have a few hours of breathable oxygen. And they will suffocate if they can't find a way to deal with the problem. Immediately, a group of NASA scientists on the ground begin working on a solution, trying to see if they can come up with a functional air filter built out of all the parts, maybe, that are in the spacecraft that's available to the astronauts. So finally, they cobble together a workable filter out of items like socks and duct tape. Imagine duct tape. Duct tape helps with everything. And they're pretty sure it'll work. But they're not absolutely sure. The scientists rush in. They present their awkward invention to the project director, and he is not quick to accept it. Matter of fact, one of his advisors says, "It's not going to work. There's no way this is going to function." The success of that filter will decide the success of that mission. The success of that filter will decide whether astronauts live or whether they die. One of the younger scientists steps forward and says, "Sir, we don't know if it'll work well or not. We believe it will. And right now, that's all those men have up there. Sometimes," he adds, "you have to have faith." As we know, the filter worked. The astronauts' lives were saved. And they made it back to Earth in one piece. But their story might have turned out differently if they hadn't been willing to trust their instincts. And if they hadn't had faith to believe that they could solve the issue. When we believe that something is possible, we start to look for a way to accomplish it. We hope, we imagine, we create, we believe. About 23 years ago, did you know that this church was meeting at the Gold Canyon Elementary School up the street in the cafeteria? Did you know it was difficult to pay the pastor's salary, to pay to rent the building, to pay to do ministry, and then to pay to save up money, to have enough money to buy property and build the first building? Typically, there's just not enough resources to do all those things, especially with a small congregation. Our church invited a church growth consultant to come and analyze and see, you know, could we build that first building? He looked at the finances of the church. He studied the community. He interviewed church members, and he wrote down a report. And his report said, "There's no way this church can build that building and buy that property." Do you know what the reaction of this church was? "We got angry and did it anyway." By the way, here's a picture of the construction of that first building. It was completed in 1996 because our congregation had faith. Don't you wish you'd bought into Mountain Brook at that time? Would have been a lot cheaper. The congregation had faith that the mountain could be moved. In the same way, we had faith that we could buy a restaurant, remodel it, turn it into a food bank and big meeting rooms. By the way, here's a picture of the old kitchen from that restaurant. We wish we could have salvaged that, but looking at that kitchen, you're probably saying, oh boy, I wish I'd never eaten there. Well, that remodeling happened. And now, we have faith that a fellowship hall can be built. We have faith that we can start a satellite congregation. We have faith that we can pay off our debt. We believe it can happen. And belief is a powerful, powerful thing. Especially if a group of people get together and they believe the same thing. We've seen it happen. We've experienced the power of belief. Now think about this. When Jesus died, the group around him believed it was over. That's what they believed. They believed it was done. They believed it was all over when he was crucified. They believed at that point he was no longer the kingly Messiah they were expecting. It was done. And they did not believe that he was the Son of God. Jesus' closest followers said, this is the end. Even his mother believed, this is the end. Some of the disciples fled for risk that they might be killed. Peter denied knowing Jesus because of that risk. And they talked about their belief that he was dead in the way they wrote. You get a sense of this in the scripture. In Luke 24:13, it says this. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, what are you discussing with each other while you walk along? They stood still, looking sad. Sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, asked, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days? He asked them, what things? They replied, the things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. So remember, a group of people believing the same thing has great power, incredible power. And this group of people now believe that Jesus is dead. And this belief is shared by everybody they know. The movement is dead because their belief that Jesus died. And yes, they are sad. But then, the closest people to Jesus see something unexpected. They see the risen Christ. And this belief changes them. No longer do they believe Jesus is dead. Now they believe that Jesus is alive. And the certainty of their belief is astounding. I mean, they become different people. Where once they hid for fear they were going to be killed, guess what? Now, a couple weeks later, they're out on the streets of Jerusalem and they are preaching. They're willing to take the risk. Why? Because seeing Jesus convinces them that Jesus has been telling the truth all along. And by the way, the amazing thing is, it's not just a few disciples, it's all of them. And I'm not just talking about the 12 or the 11, I'm talking about all of them. And this group believes God has raised Jesus from the dead, and this is a radical transformation. And the power of this belief on those who are close to Jesus will transform the world. And we're aware of that 2,000 years later. The eyewitnesses were so convincing that thousands of people believe. By the way, understanding this fact makes me believe in the resurrection. Those who saw Jesus were willing to die now. Even James, think about this, even James, who is the brother of Jesus, believes Jesus was the Son of God. Do you realize what a faith leap that is? What would it take for you to believe that your brother is God? A miracle. Yeah. Even Peter, who denied Jesus three times, believes in the resurrection. Seeing Jesus changes their beliefs. A friend of mine, a family friend of mine, Reverend Faith Conklin, talks about how a member at Whittier First United Methodist Church brought her a plant. Actually, she brought her what looked like a dead stick. Okay? And she told her, plant it. It will grow, she assured Pastor Faith. So Pastor Faith planted the stick. By the way, it's a plumeria plant. But nothing happened. She watered it, she watched it for the next year and a half, and guess what? Nothing happened. Pastor Faith told the lady about her failure, and she threatened to take it away from her. You can't grow it, I'll take it back. Pastor Faith confesses there were times when she thought about just digging it up and throwing it out. But then she thought, oh, what would I tell the woman about what I've done with her plant? Unfortunately, this woman was killed in a drive-by shooting. Pastor Faith said that days after her death, she went to check on the plant, and it was now a strong, healthy, full-leafed plant. Pastor Faith told about the plant at the woman's memorial service. She told how it was a reminder of the hope that comes in the midst of difficult times. There were no flowers, but it was beautiful. Then, 10 years later, in a time of personal difficulties for Pastor Faith, she walked outside and there was a beautiful plumeria flower. The first one. You want to show that picture? By the way, you may recognize these flowers. These are the flowers that are used for Hawaiian leis. At last, wow, a bloom. She thought about all the time she'd almost given up. when she thought about getting rid of it. And others assured her, just be patient, it's going to bloom. Took 10 years. But she confessed, as time went by, it was harder to believe, to have faith. Seeing that flower gave Pastor Faith hope. You can take it down now. Now there was a flower with a promise of more. You know, sometimes our lives are barren. Nothing seems to be happening. God seems absent or distant. And then there's a sign, a bloom, a blossom, a reminder that our faith has a strong foundation. And we are reminded to stay faithful, even when we don't feel faithful. So we cling to whatever faith we have and we trust God. And the power of that faith sees us through. Amen.